We're going to read Psalm 23 again together. It's very well known. I know that some of you, many of you have memorized it, and maybe many not in this version that I'm reading, but it's essentially the same, with only very few slight wording changes. I also want you to pay special attention to verse 4. We're going to kind of focus on verse 4 as we speak again about the importance of Psalm 23. In effect, this first line is what these young people have done today, proclaimed. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear people of God, as I just mentioned a bit ago, that first line is maybe the most loved of this most loved psalm. But this morning, we're going to remember what we spoke about last week about the Lord is my shepherd, with the finger pointing toward heaven. We know how deeply loved is this beautiful song of trust, this psalm of praise. It's deeply rooted in the covenant promise that God gave specifically to David. We see God's promise to build a house for David and provide him with a permanent loving kindness that is spoken of in 2 Samuel 7, verses 11 through 16. Just like profession of faith is the fulfillment of our part of God's promises, that's what we've observed this morning here. Just like that, God continually responds to us by keeping his promises more and more fully, giving more and more blessing as we take each step in our journey of faith. In a pastoral community, the shepherd would be recognized as the illustration of a leader, a companion, a guide, and provider. The shepherd has very unique tools. He has a rod. It is a weapon of defense. It is used to drive off beasts of prey, the enemies of the flock. They learn real quickly what the rod is for. It's like a club, longer than most clubs, and it is very effective at keeping the enemy away. The staff is used to lean on, as well as to guide straying sheep. I don't know where I first saw it. It's kind of a cartoonish type of figure where somebody's on stage and they're singing and they're doing a horrible job, and then something like a shepherd's hook comes out from the side and pulls them away. That's what a shepherd does. As if a sheep is getting in trouble or singing poorly, that they're directed back to the right path. These are the shepherd's tools. Imagine whatever tools come to your mind that are completely necessary to do your work well. For example, a modern use, we might say, is his computer and his bulletproof limo. Powerful effectiveness and powerful safety and protection. Ultimate security and safety because our Lord is in control. We already saw last time that our major on experiences of plenty, green pastures, peace by the still waters, renewal. He restores my soul. But then we get to verse 4. And I don't know if you noticed the change that happens in verse 4. The Hebrew words translated the valley of the shadow of death in verse 4 are better translated, I think, as a valley of deep darkness. One of our songs was about that too, about a valley of darkness, deep darkness. As we travel the pathway of life, sometimes the terrain gets difficult. But we must notice another very subtle change in the text. The earlier verses are, He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores. He guides. And then look what's different. And then it says, even though I walk through the deep, dark valley. This is extremely important because it's important for us to understand that God does not direct us to, and God does not guide us to, and God does not want for us dark valleys, deep, dark valleys. We're the ones who wander off into the valleys. We're the ones who get off of His path and get into that darkness and potential danger. It does not say He led me into the dark valley. And even though it doesn't emphasize it directly, the image strongly suggests that when we are in tune with our shepherd and follow where He leads, all goes pretty well, very well. We walk and live in His light. But when we decide to take control, or where we go, where to go, or how to get to our destination, if we take our own way, if we think our way is better, we sometimes get into these dark valleys and dark shadows. Let's think about valleys for a few moments. From David's perspective, valleys have deep waters, streams, rivers, wells flowing through them and from them. Shepherds like valleys because of the green grass growing there. It can be good food for their flock and abundant nourishment for their flock. The fact that it is flanked by mountains on both sides often shades from the direct sunlight. In a hot climate like theirs and like ours, it's usually pretty nice to have some shade, some shelter from the hot sun. It's covered by the shadows of the mountains. The mountains impose darkness on the valley. Even often in daytime, the prevailing temperatures will be relatively cool. Guam, not so cool, but a little bit cooler in the shadow. As cool and good as the valley will be, it also is a place of terrible danger. Terrible wild beasts are willing and anxious to attack the flock. Bears and wolves, serpents and others, they like the atmosphere of the valley as well. It could well have been that David fought with bears and lions and that he won because the Lord was with him in those valleys and on those mountainsides. Also in a valley, there could be sudden thunderstorms and floods. Even in the arid climate of Palestine, when it rains, it frequently floods. The water all goes right down the valley. Sometimes it causes rocks falling from the mountainsides. As I mentioned, as cool, relatively cool, as the valley might be, it can be very dangerous. A person could be passing through a valley of sickness or financial loss or frustration, business or marriage turbulence and maybe disgrace and dishonor. And the most dangerous one in the is the valley of the shadow of death. That phrase, shadow of death, is really best translated deepest darkness. This obviously could include the darkness of death. It's not a wrong interpretation. We know about death sometimes at the door. But this even more refers to the sin in the world. And sometimes we go near it as we travel. At times we get to walk only in the sunshine of our God and Savior, our Lord. The mountaintop experiences or the smooth, easy going on an open plain, those are wonderful. They're good. But sin in the world and sin in our lives is always trying to get between us and our loving and caring God. So what causes shadows? A shadow is obviously something that puts a barrier to the light or a distortion of the light. Shadows have various effects on us. Our imaginations can sometimes scare us. I suppose every one of us has seen a shadow. I remember one time seeing a gigantic shadow racing across the openness right toward my car. Now, I wasn't really literally afraid, but for just a fraction of a second. But it's kind of scary once in a while. It was an airplane flying overhead, obviously, and I could see the shadow, but not hear the airplane. You know what? Shadows can't hurt you. But they create conditions where we might possibly hurt ourselves, maybe accidentally. Shadows also steal happiness. They are illusions. What we imagine in them is not there. Since shadows are caused by light, or the lack of it, what should be our response to shadows? Well, here's my suggestion for every one of us. When you see a shadow, get closer to the light. Okay, now, sometimes you can do that physically, but you understand I'm not just talking about physically. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's the light we need to get closer to whenever we see shadows, even if they scare us a bit, even if they only simply surprise us a bit. We need to get and stay close to the light of the world, our Lord, our Shepherd, Jesus Christ. You see, if sin or any kind of darkness comes to us or comes near us, if our path takes us into the shadows, God is still with us at our side. I emphasized a moment ago that God doesn't lead us into the darkness. God doesn't desire for us to be in that darkness, or certainly never to stay there. Sometimes he can teach us things when we go to the darkness. But it's not God's desire to let us be there or stay there. But he never leaves our side. If we are in the shadows, if something has come between us and the light, we may not be following as closely or correctly as we should. And we should notice the shadow. Notice that means you're not as close to the light as you want to be or should be. And then use it as a reminder to get closer to the light that is Jesus. Also, please notice in these experiences that the he of verses 1 through 3, then in verse 4, becomes you. A significant, closer connection, a personal connection, and the one who leads is now alongside. He is with me. This light of the world can be by our side even in the shadows. In a sense, the darker the shadow, the closer the Lord. Oswald Chambers, in his famous devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, says that at times God puts us through or allows us to be in the discipline of darkness to teach us to listen to Him. When you are, quoting Oswald Chambers, when you are in the darkness, keep your mouth shut. Remain quiet. If you open your mouth in the dark, you will talk in the wrong mood. Darkness is a time to listen. God may just give you a very precious message for yourself or someone else when you get back into the light. Maybe the blessings of the Lord's leading are self-evident from this passage. Maybe you noticed them already when we read through it. The first blessing that David experienced was spiritual nourishment. As a shepherd leads sheep to fresh grass for feeding, so the Lord always leads and feeds his people. Not long ago, our Men of Faith Prayer Bible Study group heard Ray Vanderlaan explain to us that the green pastures, if you're standing on a normal hillside in Palestine, It doesn't look like green pastures. He said, and he almost took the thought right out of my mind. When I first read this, I thought of the Midwest where a pasture, the grass is this deep. And the sheep, you almost sometimes can't find them in the deep grass. But the green pastures in Palestine are just little snippets of grass here and there. It doesn't turn the whole hillside green, but the shepherd knows where to find the green grass, little bits of it, here and there. And he leads the sheep in what looks like a desert with little sprinklings of moisture and nourishment to help his people be filled and satisfied. Just think for a moment about the wonderful story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Among other things that Jesus, so clearly indicating Jesus cares deeply for us and that he will feed us when we're hungry. Everyone who follows the Lord will never lack any spiritual nourishment. Even in Ray Vanderlaan's example, even when it looks barren and dry and useless, God provides the nourishment. Everyone needs nourishment. Not any one of us skipped a meal yesterday or today, and we need spiritual nourishment in the same way. And then there's under-shepherds. Today we call them pastors and elders and deacons and fellow believers. These are all expected to help feed the flock whenever they get hungry. Food for the soul is the Word of God. We can and should feed on it on our own as well as together. This is partly why we made a point to give a gift certificate to Faith Bookstore to our young people who profess their faith. If they already have a Bible, they can get some other useful document or something. But every one of us needs to read the Bible. Think about skipping meals. You don't do that unless you have some particular purpose or an emergency. But we need to have enough spiritual food guided by God's Holy Spirit for our whole life. A second blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is spiritual restoration. Just like the shepherd leads his sheep to those still and gently flowing waters for rest and cleansing, the Lord restores and refreshes the soul. He provides relaxation and rest. This spiritual lesson is very clear. The Lord provides forgiveness and peace for those who will follow him. A third blessing that comes from the Lord's leading is guidance in the right way. The text calls it paths of righteousness. The good shepherd knows the right paths on which to bring the sheep home safely. He can find a way that won't take us through the shadows and the darkness. The Lord loses none of his sheep, but he guides them in the right path, in the right way. Partly, he does that for his own reputation, for his name's sake. He's the great shepherd. He can't allow losing any sheep or not nourishing them appropriately. He can't be seen leading the sheep he loves into dark or difficult or dangerous paths, but he can always be seen protecting and helping his sheep when they get off his path. That actually is the fourth blessing from the Lord's leading, protection. If we find ourselves in a valley, maybe we didn't mean to go there, if we find ourselves in deep darkness or the shadow of death, we don't need to be afraid. The Lord is with us and will protect us. Having said that, though, I don't want you to make the mistake of underestimating the shadows and the valleys and the darkness. They do contain real dangers, and we need to always be looking to and trusting Jesus whenever we find ourselves there. The rod and staff I spoke about earlier are the shepherd's equipment to protect his sheep in any and all situations. We know that David was frequently felt comforted by the Lord's presence and protection, and every one of us can feel the same way by the Lord's presence and protection when we follow Him, when we trust Him. Believers are never in situations the Lord is not aware of, for He never leaves or forsakes His people. This psalm helps us focus on a sort of reverse blessing, if you will. A fifth blessing is the things the shepherd does not do and will not do. He does not lead us into the valley, as I said, and He does not ever leave us there in the darkness. He does not watch us from outside the valley or call to us from the other side. Oh, come on, you can make it. He is there with us. And as we saw, when we're not following Him, He comes to our side and is with us through every valley or shadow to the other side. Today, we have given all these blessings to everyone who this morning professed their faith in Jesus Christ. And I am pleased and delighted to be able to give them to every one of you who has professed your faith in Christ or who will sometime in the future. These blessings are ours for the taking and for the receiving. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Once again, we see the beauty and the significance of Psalm 23 and know that you are our Lord. You are our shepherd. You're protecting and guiding and helping us all the time, even when we're not thinking of it or aware of it. Lord, we thank you for these spiritual blessings we receive from your word today. We ask that you'll fill our lives with awareness of who you are and all that you do in us and through us and for us. In a special way, Lord, we ask that you'll help our mission team have Psalm 23 on their hearts as they know, going off to Taiwan, that you are with them, guiding and helping and protecting. Lord, we thank you for this blessing, all these blessings. We ask that you'll fill us and use us. Keep us safe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.